This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Imagine for a second that you're a software developer.
Okay, I'm with you.
You've spent, the last year building your entire startup, your whole business model, your app, your customer base.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all built on top of a powerful, freely available piece of open source artificial intelligence.
Right, which is super common right now.
Exactly. And you're feeling good. The tech works. The latency is fantastic. The costs are incredibly low. And then you wake up one morning, check your feeds, and you find out that the specific AI model running your entire business has just been declared a restricted national security asset by a foreign government.
Oh, man. I mean, it is the ultimate rug pull.
It really is.
And the crazy thing is, for anyone building in the AI space right now, that is not a hypothetical scenario anymore.
No, it's not. Welcome to The Deep Dive. I'm your host, and today we are unpacking a really fascinating briefing provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim. The overarching theme here is that the global AI landscape is just, it's actively fracturing.
Yeah, we are looking at a world where the technological ground beneath our feet is shifting in real time.
Our mission today is to figure out what that shift actually looks like. And just to be clear up front, we're looking at this from a completely neutral perspective. We aren't taking any political sides regarding the U.S., China, or Korea. We're just here to objectively unpack the facts in this report because the implications are massive.
Absolutely. Because for a long time, the tech Cold War was mostly a story about hardware.
Right, like microchips.
Exactly. It was about silicon, physical supply chains, and basically who was allowed to buy what machine. But what we're looking at today is a fundamental evolution of that conflict. The friction is now bleeding heavily into software, into the AI models themselves.
And even into the basic coding agents developers use every single day, which is fundamentally shifting the costs and the risks for businesses everywhere.
It really is.
So let's start with the biggest macro-level shockwave in this briefing, because we are seeing China essentially take the U.S. export control playbook and just, flip it in reverse.
Yeah, let's look at July 7th. China's Ministry of Commerce held a highly significant series of closed-door meetings.
And they didn't just invite anyone, right?
No, they brought in the absolute heaviest hitters in their domestic tech sector. We're talking companies like Alibaba, ByteDance, and Zipu AI. And the core agenda of this meeting was discussing how to legally and technically restrict foreign access to advanced Chinese AI models.
Which is where it gets really interesting and, frankly, kind of confusing for a lot of people in the tech community.
Yeah.
Because they aren't just talking about restricting their private closed systems like a proprietary API.
Right. They are going after what are called open weight models.
Yeah. And for you listening, an open weight model is one where the core parameters, basically the massive matrices of numbers that make up the actual brain of the AI, those have already been made public.
Exactly. Anyone can download them, modify them, and build on them.
Right. And we are talking about massive, globally utilized models here, like Alibaba's Qwen and Zipu's GLM 5.2.
And during these meetings, the discussions reportedly went as far as suggesting that unauthorized leaks of these core technologies could be treated as severe violations of national security laws. Yeah. And this includes the parameters or the underlying training algorithms.
Okay. I have to push back on the mechanics of this for a second, though.
Go for it.
Because the idea of restricting an open weight model that is already out in the wild, it feels like putting a giant padlock on a public library long after everyone in town has already memorized all the books.
That's a great analogy.
Like, once that 80 gigabyte file of weights is downloaded onto a server in Europe or the US, how do you even enforce a restriction? You can't just delete it off a foreign hard drive.
You're absolutely right. The technical enforcement is an incredibly messy, almost impossible challenge retroactively. If you have the file, you have the file.
Right.
But to understand the move, we have to look at the broader strategic why. This is universally being read as a direct mirror image retaliation to U.S. export bans on AI chips.
Ah, okay. So because the U.S. essentially cut off the supply of the printing presses, the advanced GPUs needed to make the AI, China's response is to say, fine, we will lock away the actual manuscripts.
Exactly. The retaliation is really about the future. Yes, old models are out there. But if a government categorizes these weights as sovereign assets, they can cut off foreign access to all future updates.
Oh, so that makes sense.
They can shut down API access for developers testing the models, and they can threaten severe legal action against developers who contribute to foreign forks of the code.
So, practically speaking, what does this actually mean for the person listening to this who is building tech right now?
Well, the immediate impact is a massive spike in operating costs. Right now, models like Qwen and GLM are incredibly popular globally.
Because they're cheap.
Because they're highly capable and astonishingly cheap compared to Western alternatives. In fact, if you look at aggregation platforms like OpenRouter, where developers go to route their prompts to different models, Chinese models account for over 48% of the global token consumption.
Wait, almost half.
Almost half. So if this policy solidifies, the era of cheap Chinese AI models effectively ends for foreign users. The global AI infrastructure costs, especially for developers relying on them for affordable processing, will just skyrocket.
Which means businesses that built their profit margins around the assumption of cheap, infinite AI compute are going to hit a brick wall.
Exactly.
But this paranoia and distrust, it isn't just happening top-down from governments at the policy level. It's happening company to company, right down to the specific software an engineer uses to write code.
Yeah, look at what happened just a few days later on July 10th. Alibaba outright banned its own employees from using Anthropic's Claude code.
And not just Claude code, right? They ordered a total network-level purge of Anthropic products, including their flagship models Sonnet and Opus.
Right, forcing thousands of their engineers to instantly switch to an internal proprietary platform called Coder.
Which is wild. You can't just spin up an enterprise-grade AI coding replacement for thousands of engineers in a weekend. If they forced to switch to Coder overnight, Alibaba must have been building that internal lifeboat for months.
Undoubtedly. They were preparing for this fracture. But the official reasoning Alibaba gave for the sudden purge was security.
What kind of security issue?
Well, they cited claims by security researchers that Claude had hidden backdoors that were actively detecting the environments of the users, basically trying to map out where the software was running. So Alibaba classified it as high-risk software.
But as with everything in this geopolitical space, there is a massive counterstory.
Oh, absolutely.
Just a month prior to this ban, Anthropic had submitted a formal, very public complaint to the U.S. Senate. They claimed that operators linked to Alibaba's research division had spun up roughly 25,000 fake accounts.
Yeah, and generated 28.8 million interactions with Claude over just a few weeks.
28.8 million. And that right there is the crux of the corporate Cold War. Because that many interactions is not a research team asking a chatbot to write a few Python scripts.
Hmm?
The allegation is that this was a massive distillation effort.
Let's unpack distillation for a second, because it sounds like making whiskey, but it's actually about intellectual property.
Yeah, please explain that for the listeners.
So in AI terms, distillation is a process where you take a highly advanced, incredibly expensive frontier AI like Claude, and you have it generate massive amounts of high quality data, problem solving steps, and code.
Okay.
Then you take all that generated data and use it to train your own smaller, cheaper model.
Oh. It is essentially having a master chess player play a million games, writing down every single move, and then feeding that book of moves to a novice.
That is a perfect way to put it. You are trying to copy the software engineering brains of Claude without spending the hundreds of millions of dollars on the foundational training.
So we are looking at an environment of total paranoia. Accusations of massive IP theft via distillation on one side, and accusations of hidden espionage backdoors on the other.
Yep. And while all this software friction is happening, the actual physical act of using the AI, what the industry calls inference, is becoming so resource-heavy that it is actively breaking standard software business models.
This is a critical evolution. And it brings us to DeepSeek V4, which is a highly anticipated model launching in mid-July. They are introducing something completely unprecedented for this kind of software API, peak and valley pricing.
When I read this in the briefing, it really stopped me in my tracks.
Right. DeepSeek is saying that between 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. and then again from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Beijing time, the cost to use their API literally doubles.
It is a profound shift in how we think about the internet, because for the last 20 years, we've been used to software functioning as this infinite, highly scalable resource.
Right. If one person visits a website or a million people visit, the cost to the provider is basically zero.
Exactly. But AI is completely different. AI inference requires massive, continuous physical compute. Every time you ask an AI a complex coding question, a GPU in a data center has to physically spool up, draw wattage from the grid, and generate heat.
It is exactly like doing your laundry or running your air conditioner at 2 a.m. to save on your electricity bill.
Yeah, because the power grid is stressed during the day.
It highlights the reality that AI compute is officially becoming a basic, physically constrained utility. You are paying for the limitations of the data center's power and cooling capacity, not just the software itself.
Precisely. DeepSeek is loudly signaling that the physical bottleneck for generating tokens is now so severe during business hours they have no choice but to manage human demand through surge pricing.
And, well, nature abhors a vacuum. With Alibaba banning Western tools like Claude and inference costs fluctuating wildly, domestic companies are rushing to build entirely closed ecosystems.
Right, like Zipu AI stepping right into the void left by Western bans.
Yeah, they are launching Zcode Harness. It's not just a place to write code, it's a full agent development environment, and they are charging up to $144 a month for the premium tier.
We are seeing a complete supply chain split. You are either building your software in the US ecosystem with their tools and rules, or the Chinese ecosystem. The bridge between them is on fire.
But building a walled garden of software is completely useless if you don't have the iron to run it. And that physical layer, the data center infrastructure, the chips, the memory, is where this tech cold war is getting incredibly expensive.
Which brings us to a fascinating contrast highlighted in the report by former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim. He points out a stark, almost poetic divergence that happened in the span of just a few days.
Right, because on July 7th, China is holding closed-door meetings about shutting the door on software exports. But then, on July 10th, South Korea's SK Hynix kicks open a massive door to global capital.
It was a monumental financial move. SK Hynix listed ADRs, which are essentially certificates that allow foreign companies to trade shares on American stock exchanges. They listed those on the NASDAQ.
And the market response was explosive. The stocks surged 13% on the first day, and they raised a staggering $26.5 billion.
That number is huge.
To put it in perspective, that actually beats Alibaba's legendary 2014 New York listing, which held the record for the biggest tech debut.
And the reason Wall Street threw $26 billion at them is because of what SK Hynix manufactures. They currently provide anywhere from 50% to 70% of the global supply of high bandwidth memory, or HBM chips.
Let's break down HBM for a second, because it really is the unsung hero of the AI boom. Everyone talks about the NVIDIA GPU processors, but the processor is useless without the memory, right?
Exactly. Think of the GPU processor as an incredibly fast Michelin star chef.
Okay, I like this.
That chef can cook food at lightning speed, but they can only work as fast as the waiters bring them the raw ingredients. In a computer, the memory is the waiter. Traditional memory is simply too slow. The GPU chef ends up just standing around waiting for data. High bandwidth memory, HBM, is like having 1,000 waiters running in parallel, delivering massive amounts of data to the processor instantly.
And you cannot run modern AI without it.
No, and SK Hynix essentially owns the market. The $26.5 billion they raised is earmarked to expand their massive Yongin semiconductor cluster and to purchase highly advanced ASML lithography equipment.
Those are the ultra-complex machines that literally use light to print microscopic circuits onto silicon, right?
Yes, multi-million dollar machines.
So South Korea is aggressively cementing its dominance in the physical memory space. But the briefing also highlights that Korea is walking a very delicate macroeconomic tightrope.
Yeah, take Samsung, for example. In the same week, they posted an 89.4 trillion won operating profit,
which is a 19-fold increase year over year.
Right. But on the day of that massive announcement, their stock actually dropped nearly 7%.
It seems so counterintuitive, but it reveals a massive structural risk. The entire Korean stock market, the KOSPI, is now almost 50% reliant on the semiconductor industry alone.
Half the entire stock market tied to one thing.
Yes. And when half of your national market is tied to one highly cyclical, highly geopolitical sector, any tremor in the global supply chain, a new export control, a shift in AI demand is an economic earthquake for your country.
Investors saw Samsung's profit, sure. But they also saw the fragility of relying so heavily on the U.S.-China chip war maintaining its current status quo.
And speaking of tremors in that status quo, enter Huawei. According to the briefing, Huawei's Ascend 950DT AI chip is officially entering the South Korean market in the fourth quarter of the year.
And this chip features 144 gigabytes of custom HBM memory.
But here is the absolute kicker. It costs about 70,000 yuan.
Which is roughly $10,000.
Right. And if you compare that to the industry standard, an NVIDIA H200 chip can easily run you $30,000 to $40,000 depending on your setup.
So Huawei's coming in at less than a third of the price.
Yeah, and they're claiming their chip actually delivers better inference performance for running models.
And because of all this, we are seeing incredible, almost dangerous volatility in the Chinese domestic chip market as investors try to predict who will win this hardware race.
Oh, like Cambricon.
Yes, exactly. They are listed on the STAR Market, which is essentially China's equivalent to the NASDAQ for high-tech companies. Cambricon briefly hit a 1 trillion yuan market capitalization, becoming the first on the STAR board to do so.
Wow.
But then they lost 140 billion yuan in value over just 2 days. Investors suddenly realized the valuations were entirely extreme, trading at 369 times their actual earnings.
So the hardware market is running red hot with pure speculation.
Absolutely.
But I want to go back to that Huawei chip entering Korea, because if you think about it, this creates an absolutely impossible dilemma for a Korean data center operator.
Oh, it really does.
On one hand, you have the NVIDIA standard. It's safe. The software ecosystem works perfectly, but it is incredibly expensive, and there's a massive wait list.
Right.
On the other hand, you have Huawei offering you the physical iron for your data center at a $20,000 discount per chip.
It is the defining question for tech executives around the world right now. Do you buy the cheap, sanctioned hardware to slash your operating costs and stay competitive today?
But risk the wrath of U.S. export controls down the line.
Exactly, or secondary sanctions. Or do you stick with NVIDIA and potentially bleed cash while your competitors undercut your pricing?
It is a terrifying position if you are just a business owner trying to run a profitable server farm.
As lawyer King Jin Kim elaborates in his commentary on this dynamic, AI models and the specific chips that run them are no longer treated as standard commercial products. They are sovereign strategic assets.
Yeah, he draws a direct parallel to crude oil in the 1970s, right?
He does. During the oil shocks, energy wasn't just a commodity, it was a weapon. Today, when a business makes a procurement choice, whether it's downloading an open-weight AI model from Alibaba or buying a server rack from Huawei, they are no longer just making a technological choice.
They're actively making a geopolitical wager.
Exactly.
And the supply chain has officially become a minefield. But for our final topic today, we are moving from the physical hardware sitting quietly in freezing cold data centers to hardware that literally walks around the room.
This part is wild.
Because China isn't just building chips and software models. They are aggressively downloading those AI brains into physical bodies.
The scale of what is happening in the Chinese robotics sector is just staggering. The Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the MIT, is formally predicting that China will produce over 100,000 humanoid robots this year alone.
100,000 humanoid robots in a single year. I mean, that feels like science fiction.
It really does. It is a nearly six-fold jump from what they originally projected for 2025. And if they hit that target, China will capture roughly 80% to 90% of total global production for humanoid robots.
And they are doing it with an estimated 30% to 50% cost advantage over international competitors, primarily due to their deeply integrated supply chains for batteries, motors, and sensors.
We are seeing the math of mass manufacturing kick in real time.
Yeah, look at a company called Agibot mentioned in the briefing. They just crossed 15,000 total units produced. But look at the timeline of that production. It took them 2 full years of R&D to build their first 1,000 robots.
Okay.
It took them 1 year to build the next 5,000. And it took just 3 months to build the last 5,000.
That is the exponential curve of true mass production.
The domestic capital is flooding into the space to accelerate it even further. Unitree Robotics just went through a record-breaking 104-day IPO approval process on the STAR Market, successfully raising 4.2 billion yuan.
The financial regulatory engines and the manufacturing engines are fully synchronized to dominate this sector.
But, and this is where the story takes a massive twist,
right?
While China is doing absolutely everything in its power to scale up industrial AI and physical humanoid robots, they are simultaneously dropping the regulatory hammer on consumer AI.
This is a crucial divergence in global tech philosophies. On July 15th, a new framework called the AI Anthropomorphism Service Regulations goes into effect.
And this is a strict set of rules aimed entirely at preventing human users from developing an unhealthy dependence on artificial intelligence.
Because of this law, massive platforms like ByteDance's Doubao and Alibaba's Tongyi Qianwen are being forced to entirely shut down their emotional and companion AI agent features.
They have to implement anti-addiction systems, mandatory usage reminders, and real-time algorithmic detection of unhealthy emotional reliance by the user.
It is such a fascinating, stark irony.
It really is. On one hand, China is rapidly building 100,000 physical humanoid robots that walk like us, move like us, and work in our factories.
Yeah.
But on the exact same day, they pass incredibly strict laws to ensure the AI inside your phone never becomes your friend or your emotional companion. It is a very specific, highly utilitarian vision for the future of technology.
What is so compelling about this contrast is how clearly it signals the state's ultimate priorities, as noted by former lawmaker Kun Jin Kim. China is steering its entire AI ecosystem purely toward industrial power.
We see this mirrors in other initiatives in the briefing, too.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. Like their roadmap to deploy 50,000 dedicated 5G private networks, specifically for the industrial internet by 2030. They want AI optimizing factory floors, managing smart electrical grids, and running autonomous shipping ports.
They fundamentally do not want computing power, electricity, and societal energy being drained by consumer entertainment or digital companion apps.
Exactly. They want the AI driving a forklift, not acting as a digital therapist.
That is a fundamental difference in philosophy compared to Western markets, where consumer-facing chatbots and digital companions are massive drivers of AI adoption and venture capital investment.
Precisely.
So let's take a step back and recap this incredible journey we've been on today. We started with the realization that the era of cheap, accessible open source models might be ending as governments look to lock down the digital blueprints of the future.
Right. And we waded through the corporate espionage paranoia and the distillation accusations between giants like Alibaba and Anthropic, leading to total platform bans.
We examined the high-stakes, multi-billion-dollar hardware dilemma, where data centers are caught between $26 billion capital raises for memory chips, the sheer physics of power grid limitations for inference, and the temptation of heavily discounted, sanctioned hardware alternatives.
And we ended with the reality that 100,000 strictly industrial humanoid robots are about to roll off assembly lines, even as emotional companion AI is firmly regulated out of existence.
The landscape is shifting incredibly fast, and the dividing lines are getting deeper. And this is exactly why it matters to you. Whether you are an investor trying to balance a tech portfolio, a software developer choosing which API to build your startup on, or just someone fascinated by where technology is going.
The tools you use, the code you rely on, and the hardware processing your data are no longer just products of a free, borderless market.
They are active chess pieces in a massive geopolitical match.
Which raises an important question, and it's one I think everyone listening needs to mull over. If the very building blocks of our digital future, the silicon chips, the lines of code, and the foundational AI models themselves are actively being weaponized as sovereign assets, how long until the global open internet we have known for decades completely fractures?
Right.
Are we looking at a future where we don't just have different apps and platforms, but entirely separate, fundamentally incompatible technological universes?
That is a heavy, very real thought to leave on. But that is why we do this. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you. Keep an eye on the shifting ground beneath your tech stack. And make sure to double check if that public software library you rely on still has its doors open. We'll catch you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.